everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for another week of the BB Q&A as week number 5 is underway here in Big Brother 24. And we are here to take your questions live on a Friday afternoon. And I am back here with the man who knows not just everything about the Big Brother house, but now muffins, cookies, all the baked goods. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Currently just trying to hold my appetite as we watch the development of the cookies in liquid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you a cookie guy?
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, maybe like not like your classic cookies, like mm-hmm. a classic, like regular round cookie, you know, not into it most of the time. Like other weird versions of cookies, maybe.
Like what would be a weird version of a cookie?
I don't know. It's just when I sell people I don't like cookies, they're like, what? That's impossible. Yeah. What about this that I wouldn't have thought it was right. a cookie, but it's technically a cookie.
Because also, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't like chocolate, right?
No.
Okay. So is there anything sweet? An ice cream maybe?
Not a huge ice cream person.
Frozen yogurt? No.
Frozen yogurt? Rob, we had frozen yogurt together one time.
Yes. Remind me, where were we?
I don't know, someplace in LA.
Oh, okay.
We went to some like outdoor.
Oh, we went to the place that was, it was like the real yogurt?
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was okay. Good. I'm into frozen yogurt.
Okay. All right. That, you know, everybody wants to know, like, what are your vices, Taryn?
Not Lay's.
Not Lay's, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, here we are back with the patron Q&A, and we're going to take your questions. Two ways to do it. You can call in. That link is up there in the chat. Also, you can give us a question and write it right here in the chat, and we can bring it up on the screen. Started doing this more on the podcast. I like how StreamYard is able to bring these up on the screen. So love to get the interactivity going. So if you have questions as you go along, even if we don't take it right away, I'll start and we'll get to it later on in the podcast. Taryn, you and I got to talk to Nicole this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting chat with Nicole. Who I thought she was like I sense she's doing like the same interview talking about Taylor with, you know, probably were like the, you know, 15th different interview that she did. I thought she was a little edgy with us.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, I will say that it could have been much worse. Mm-hmm. And I think I appreciate that that she is saying a lot of the mm-hmm. right things. There are still some things that I think that were not right. But, you know, I always try to give at least a little bit of leeway when in terms of like when they're right out of the house, there's a lot that they don't know and don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so for me, but that also goes the other way where it's like, you can be saying the right things coming right out of the house. That also doesn't mean that you won't now be saying the wrong things a couple of weeks in the future on social media. So, you know, for as much as these immediate exit interviews are like a good litmus test, for me, it's really just like, okay, you can say whatever you want now, but once you do have time to digest and look and see what's happening, what do you have to say at that point before I really start to make any kind of
the judgment? Only thing, yeah, with Nicole, it's like, you know, she like completely like, you know, it seems like, oh my God, like, I've seen the error of my ways. Like, but from yesterday, you know, I don't know what necessarily where she had this, like, you know, like all of a sudden what changed for her where she's a completely different person now. She has not seen the episodes. Like, I guess, you know, she gets that people are upset.
Honestly, and this is of course complete speculation, I think she always knew mm-hmm. that what she was doing was wrong, and that's part of why she kept doubling down, because you know, admitting to the fact that it was wrong was not a good feeling. And mm-hmm. so when you also then have Daniel in there, who's very much willing to like back you up and hype you up about the fact that you're right about it, you're able to sort of like live in that delusion. But the second it came, the second like a little piece of it was like, oh no, mm-hmm. you are not right. She's like, damn it. all of those things that I thought might be true, they're true. So let's hard pivot.
I also thought it was a little curious. You know, we're asking her about we started talking about how she was talking about how Taylor wasn't a good person, and we're going back to that day where Taylor came to her. She had come out of the diary room, and she told the story about how she was thought something had happened to her mom based off of confusion as to which diary room that she got called to. But then did Taylor like say something? Because like from what I understand of that story, she was like, her and Daniel were like set off about Taylor like immediately after that diary room session.
Yeah. So it's, the problem is it's a difficult thing to fully grasp. And the feeds were down for a good portion of the beginning of what she was talking about with Daniel, to the point where I didn't want to make a judgment yet on what she was talking about, even though it seemed like she was talking about Taylor. We did miss a chunk of it. When it came back in, she was definitely talking about Taylor, which made it seem like probably the whole time she was talking about Taylor. But it's certainly possible that in the time that the feeds were down, she did discuss some possibility of that being a trigger having set her off. She did talk about how she felt like people will assume this had something to do with my mom. And there was, it was largely because of that confusion. A lot of people thought it had something to do with her mom because of the diary room that she ended up going into.
Yeah.
But
that was new that she thought that there, this, like the diary room might have had something to do with her mom.
Well, that's what she said in the house. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like, I think that it doesn't really matter ultimately because it wasn't as though that was the trigger which caused her to then start talking bad about Taylor. That was already existing. And this was just, for whatever reason, a heightened state of emotion where she was also heightened against Taylor. And I think that she mentioned that, like, she was initially in that state of like, oh, something could be wrong with my mom. That put her in an emotional state. And then she started talking about Taylor and things got kind of like murky from there. And especially, in regards to the, like, she's not a good person, like those comments were made prior to Taylor coming in and saying, do what you need to do. But obviously, again, like it's tough trying to talk to somebody who's right out of the house because, you know, in her mind, it's like she's not going to remember the exact sequence of events there. And, you know, we have five minutes to try and organize all of those thoughts and events. But again, I think at the end of the day, the big thing is that, like, no matter where it came from, no matter what agitated the emotional state, there was a very consistent through line of things that were being said and interpreted about Taylor. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Okay. Elizabeth asks, do the producers pre-screen the questions? No, we're not pre-screened on the interviews that we're doing face-to-face. What we do get pre-screened on is the interviews that we do with the jury. So I think we'll have one more person that is going to be pre-jury. And then the way that the exit interviews work, at least for the last couple seasons, it'll be, we will submit questions on Thursday night, and then we will get a Zoom call back with the answers to those questions, and we'll see how good the answers end up being, and we'll decide what we'll do. Last year, we were doing them here on the BB Q&A, and that was pretty fun. We'll see if there's any any other options of what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, again, it's just like with the limited amount of time, you know, we try to do our best, but at the end of the day, it's just like, unless you really get in there and sit down with someone for an extended period of time, like there's not going to be a lot that we're going to be able to get from these, but, we do our best.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, you want to give us the quick version of where we're at this hour?
Michael is the HOH. He is moving forward with the idea to work with Kyle, Alyssa, and Turner, along with Brittany. And their original plan had been to keep Daniel safe, but he doesn't really see a path to make that happen for sure. So right now, the plan is Monty, Joseph, and Terrence on the block initially. If the veto is used, nominate Daniel and Kyle to send Daniel out. However, it seems as though he would maybe kind of secretly like for Daniel to be picked to play in the veto and win it so that Monty, Terrence, and Joseph stay on the block, at which point what he's saying to people is, we vote Terrence out. But what he said to the cameras was, if something happened to Monty, I wouldn't be that mad. That is, I think, definitely a small possibility at this point.
What would be the biggest strategic benefit to get rid of Monty if you're Michael?
Just taking out a big player right now who is capable of winning physical competitions and has a lot of good social connections. Monty said last night to them, and Kyle and Michael were just discussing this as we went live, that he literally said to them, Jasmine approached us, me and Joseph, with an alliance with Terrence and Indy. And they were like, obviously they're not going to say no to that, which means now there's an alliance of Monty, Joseph, Indy, Jasmine, and the other person mm-hmm. that I just mentioned that I can't remember, Terrence. Mm-hmm. So that's concerning. And, obviously you look at the last, five or whatever winners of the game, and they all look like Monty to some degree. Like, they're all like big, muscly dudes. Mm-hmm. Taking out a threat like that, inadvertently, no blood on Michael's hands. He didn't do it intentionally. Keep the loyalty of Joseph and Taylor and everyone else while now leaving Jasmine, Indy, and Terrence rudderless. Could work out.
Yeah. Is part of it also that Monty has, connections from, the Pose Pack days to some other people on the other side of the house, like Jasmine, like Alyssa?
Jasmine wouldn't be from Pose Pack, but I think
Pose Pack adjacent, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's mostly this perceived new alliance. Monty has also been somebody that that Michael has been wary of for a while. It's just something that has always been, put on the back burner because he's been in various alliances with Monty. Mm-hmm. But Michael definitely came into this game thinking, big muscly dudes, meatheads, beware, because I'm not gonna just let the big muscly dudes get to the end and win all those competitions like what's been happening every single year. So I definitely think he has that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's what did Frenchie in. So tread lightly here, Michael. Okay. Aditi is asking, would it be better for Michael to target Monty before Joseph?
I do think that the thing about Joseph is that he's less loyal to he's less easily swayed, I would say. That I think Monty is more loyal to the leftovers in general, and is more willing to play ball with whatever plans that the other people want, whereas Joseph more has more of his own agenda and is willing to push that agenda harder. In addition to that, Joseph is closer to Taylor. He has good relationships with, people like Indy. So I do think there is some value in the idea of targeting Joseph before Monty. I don't know that they fully understand the dynamic between Monty and Joseph at this point, or the fact that Monty is kind of like more with them than with Joseph in the first place. Mm-hmm. So personally, yeah, I would honestly say probably take Joseph out first if you were to take that shot. But I don't think that they know to do that at this point.
Yeah. And who would be the person that you could get the other side of the house to potentially vote for? Because it seems like that they might be, are they upset with Monty, or are they more interested in taking a shot at Joseph?
So I believe I heard, I think it was Jasmine and Terrence already talking about how if Monty is on the block post-veto, maybe Monty goes. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be hard, I think, for something to go wrong and Monty to leave if it's like, okay, Jasmine, Indy, Alyssa, are all votes against Monty. And then, just a couple of more, head in that direction. And all of a sudden things are bad for Monty.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's bring in a call. And of course, you got the link. come on and join us. Not too many people on hold right now, so you'll get through, okay? Let's say hello to Panther Chris is back. Chris, how are you? Chris, can you hear us?
What's going on?
Hey, Chris, what's happening?
Not too much. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, good, good.
Good. Good interview with Nicole earlier. I think you guys did a good job holding her accountable and asking the tough questions. And I really thought that you were about to squeeze out what the DR was actually asking her when she was so upset that day about the blow up.
I probably wasn't going to go there next. I know, you know, we had a couple other things that we wanted to get to, but they basically told us that we were out of time. So that was that.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a good job and you made the most of the very concise time that you guys had. So
yeah.
Props to
you. Yeah, I'm, you know, these exit interviews, you know, they're tight these days. They're squeezing us on the exit interview front.
Mm-hmm.
How many exit interviews do these house guests have to do these days? Is it like 20?
I'm not sure. I mean, it feels like with Big Brother, like with Survivor, they almost don't give any shows like the exit interviews for Survivor. It's like they've really like trimmed it down on Survivor. The challenge is like a little bit more, and then it seems like anybody that wants them on Big Brother, it seems like, and that's part of the problem, I think, is that they give the exit interviews to like almost anybody.
Right. Yeah. It's all over the place this year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of a, slow week this week. So I know that we kind of went through the scenarios as far as what we think Michael's going to do, but is there anyone that you think that is going to influence Michael's thinking the most? Is it going to be Kyle as it seems to be this morning, or do you think that Brittany can get in his ear, or Taylor as he has a final three with those previous two or former two?
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of influence, I think in terms of influence, Kyle has definitely already been by far the most influential over Michael's thought process, because as far as we know, Michael was not really thinking of keeping Daniel this week until he talked to Kyle last week. And that's still on his mind in terms of potential goals for the week. And then in addition to that, you know, the whole pitch from Kyle to like, you know, pull together this group and pull in Alyssa. Michael talked to Alyssa earlier today, and they are again kind of moving forward with the idea, broaching the topic of, hey, I really like the group of you, Brittany, me, Kyle. You know, I think that we can really work well together. I think we really trust each other. So that's all moving in that direction. In terms of like influence, there's not a lot of push in any other direction at this point, other than from Joseph, who Michael's actually talking to right now. I don't expect Joseph to out push Kyle in this regard, because Michael is already much more siding with Kyle and what he's thinking in terms of keeping Alyssa safe. I don't expect Michael to cave and nominate Alyssa, Indy, and Taylor this week. So if he does, you know, kudos to Joseph.
Okay. Cool. That makes a lot of sense. As we're kind of approaching the jury stage of this, it seems like there is a high possibility the leftovers, at least one side, is already actively thinking about taking the shot. And I think that Joseph is enough of a gamer that at least he will convince Monty and be able to possibly take an early shot on the other side too. So it seems like there's a lot of good house guests that you would want to drag to the end, kind of, just because I don't think they'll ever win a jury vote. Or in Jasmine's case, it's going to be very hard for her to win these physical competitions. at the end of the game, as we've seen in recent seasons, although I know that the competition designer is different this year, who is the ideal GOAT and who is most likely to get dragged to the end with this bunch that's not in the leftovers?
I mean, I think it depends on which leftover you're talking about. I think that like Monty and Joseph right now are definitely eyeing Terrence as somebody that they can drag as far as possible. I think that maybe more Monty than Joseph. I think Joseph is maybe eyeing Indy, but I think they're also both pretty locked in with the pound and with the leftovers in general. So I don't know that they would be the first people to really make that push in general. I think that for Kyle, he's not really even looking for a GOAT. I think he's looking at take Alyssa, take Turner, take Michael if I have to. If you're Kyle, you're just kind of hoping to get there and hoping that you have enough respect to get the votes. For Michael, I think he's definitely looking for a GOAT, but I think that he's willing to you know, bring... I don't think he looks at Brittany as a GOAT, but I think he knows he can probably beat her. So for him, I think it's, you know, Brittany, Taylor. I don't think he's particularly looking outside of the alliance either. So I don't know that there's a lot of intention right now to bring many of the people outside too far, other than Alyssa herself. So if anything, Alyssa might be the most likely person, just because Kyle is probably going to be so dedicated to bringing her. But that could change, because once the lines are drawn, people like Joseph and Monty and even maybe Taylor might start looking elsewhere. And, you know, even somebody like Michael might start looking at like Indy, other options, because he's not going to want to go too far with the trio of Kyle, Alyssa, and Turner. If I were in the house, I would love to be up against Indy in the final two. Terrence, maybe, Jasmine, I'd be a little concerned about, but like, I'd definitely be eyeing Indy, I think would be my biggest, person that, you know, if it fit for me to bring her there, I would want her in the final two with me.
Right. It's kind of like a BB20 Sam, where you're not even sure if they're kind of aware of what's going on, but I think that Indy's even less aware of what's going on the actual game than Sam.
Yeah, there's just like, it's this combination of her approaching the game from a different perspective, from the sort of like BB Brazil perspective of like less a strategic game and more of a summer house. Even though she does have some strategy to her, it's just such on a different vibe than everyone else. And then in addition to that, she's also been a part of some of the like cruelty that's been going on. So likability factor is pretty low.
Can I also just add for Indy, what a dud. I think it's been underreported, just what a casting dud Indy has turned out to be. Like, I don't know what exactly they were like what was the upside here for Indy, but I don't know if they feel like, oh, she's a sex coach. She's a wild card. She's going to be fun in the house. Well, she's not that fun. She's not good at the game. What is she bringing to the table?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing, Rob, is she's asked that herself out loud in the Big Brother house multiple times, where it's like, these are the 16 people that they came up with.
Yeah. I mean, she's a woman who doesn't really know the show, is in a fan of like the international version of the show. Like, how did she even end up in their casting pool? Did somebody met her and was like, oh, you got to be on Big Brother? We didn't have anybody better than Indy. Not to single Indy out, but I mean, just one of like the total like nothings. Like, I don't even know what they were like, what they thought they were getting with Indy.
I don't know what she said in the casting process, but it certainly is interesting to see how she's in the house. I wouldn't say that she's
in Indy house.
Indy house.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. I know there's a few other people on hold, but I feel like right now, Turner is the best left over right now. Am I wrong for thinking that? I feel like...
Chris, you cut out for a second there. Could you say that one more time about Turner?
Is he the best position left over in the house right now?
It depends on what you mean by that. Like, short-term safety, yeah, he's really safe. long-term sort of like projection. He's not sort of as locked in terms of like a solid end game. He shouldn't go up this week at all, which is great for him. I don't see why anybody would target him anytime soon either. So he should be here for a little while, but he only has Kyle as a final two. He's loosely attached to this like bigger group where Kyle has Alyssa, Michael has Brittany and Taylor. And he needs more of those like solid connections and people willing to really bring him all the way to the end in a spot where he can still win before he's like really in a great spot.
Okay. Needs another shower. Get that head going again. Think it over and find out an end game for him. Sorry. I know we like Turner
don't
now.
Hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, don't hear that. It's a good one. All right. Chris, thank you so much. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. Let's take a couple other questions here. Angela says, do you think that they should save the indie boot for the double?
Like, why? To take indie out in a double?
What would be the benefit of that?
I'm not sure why you would save Indy for, like, I think you save Indy for a spot where ideally somebody else takes her out, because it's just not worth, you know, probably yourself taking her out unless you're a really specific person that she's not vibing with, like Taylor, you know?
Yeah. I got a couple questions about the Alyssa of it all. But let's go to Kenzie and then we'll come back and we'll talk some Alyssa. Okay. Kenzie, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Kenzie. How are you? Yeah.
I'm doing good. Well, if you want to talk about the Alyssa stuff.
Sure. We have a couple of questions. Do you want to get it started?
That's this page. Hold on. All right.
You have pages of notes.
Because I forget stuff very easily.
Yes.
And I get off track. So focus. Kyle is already seeming to show that he's more going to go towards the Alyssa side of things than with the boys, it seems to me. I mean, he like likes his position, but he really wants to keep Alyssa around. But he was still, even this morning when he was talking to Michael, he's like, yeah, no, they would probably want Alyssa to go, but that's fine. That's fine. But then I think he's already starting to waffle on wanting to get rid of Alyssa. He's in love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Indy said to him just like an hour ago, she was like, you two are in love. And he didn't even say anything.
And she's a coach.
He smiled and kind of got that aw shucks kind of, yeah, we are. Did he like, were him and Alyssa making out while Indy was trying to sleep? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he was apologizing because, it's not even the first time it happened, so.
She's like, it's cute, it's fine, y'all are in love, but don't mess with my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's really all I had to say about Alyssa, so.
Yeah, they don't have anywhere else they can go. They're always like next to like a sleeping person.
Well, there's not a lot of closed rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, but where people aren't around.
I guess so.
It's literally like, it's really just completing the teenager arc of just like, we want to hook up, but where?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't even have like a car to go to.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I want to talk about Michael because I was very, very happy that he won HOH. And from the looks of things, he's going to be doing a very good job. I like how he's approaching people with, who do you think, or do you have a feeling of who the house wants to get out rather than, you know, who are your targets? Because it kind of gives them more leeway to get their target without feeling as responsible for it. What do you think about that? Sorry, I'm gonna ask this one.
No, I think that I like what Michael is doing. You can tell that he knows what he's doing, that he's seen the show before, and that he knows how people approach these situations, asking people the same questions so that they don't feel singled out. At the same time, like giving people little snippets of like, hey, please don't tell anybody I'm telling you this, but here's what I'm thinking. I'm probably not putting you on the block. I think that makes the most sense. So far, I think he's been handling it really well. And I think he's been doing a very good job. I think Kellis agrees as well.
Did you catch his cam talk this morning where he was going through all the people?
Mm-hmm. What was he going through?
I knew you would watch this. I know you were busy. So, that was definitely interesting. It was funny how he was listing Indy as somebody he'd want to sit at the end with. And then Kyle's listing people who like wouldn't vote for him in jury. So it kind of aligned with who Michael's looking at taking further. So it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. They were also like, I was listening to the Michael Kyle talk right before this. It's like they're talking about how it's like they really feel comfortable with like how the guys trust them in the alliance based on all the stuff that they're telling them. Because why would they tell us that if they weren't trusting us? But also know that they're like some of the biggest threats. So it's like making it harder to just decide when to take that shot. But if it happens to come up, you know, why is everybody volunteering to go on the block this season? Why? I understand, like, you don't want to push against it because you don't want to, like, seem sketchy, but straight up volunteering without being asked after the last 2 weeks have just happened. Why?
It's because of the twist. The twist puts them in a position where, like, people have to go up on the block, and it gives the HOH an excuse to be like, yeah, sorry, I mean, Michael literally is like, if I want to backdoor Daniel, I have three options. One of them, I can't compete in the veto probably because of Jasmine, which means I have two options. And one of those options, I need to put Taylor up for the fourth time. So I basically have one option. And it's like, yeah, when faced with that kind of logic, you're like, I might as well just give in.
Right. But you don't need to like start there. It's like you let the other person start and say, oh, yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But you don't like, especially after they just saw that happen.
People love pushing themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's just, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
All right. And also, I was discussing with somebody this morning the like turnaround on the perception of Turner. And, you know, a lot of the priests turn around. Sorry. I that wasn't even on purpose. I did let all of the preseason stuff like cloud my judgment going in, and the whole shower stuff is just ick. So, you know, it doesn't help. But, you know, he hasn't done anything specifically in the house to make me not like him on a personal level. So like I said, he's on probation right now. But was it Cass pointed out this morning?
He's on probation with you.
Yes.
Okay.
As far as my feelings for him as a player. How she thinks that he's going to like stick more with the bros. Cause like he went in, he formed like the bros, like with the pound, like with that. And he doesn't really talk game with the other leftovers. I said how he's tight with like Taylor, but she pointed out how it wasn't really on a game level. It was more personal stuff. So where do you guys feel he is on a game level? Is he more with like the bros or more with like is he more likely to go with Michael and Taylor and Brittany or with the pound?
So what Turner said when he made the final two with Kyle was, hey, we should pair up because within the pound, I think Monty and Joseph are together. So I think it makes sense for us to be together.
Kyle's kind of in between both of those. So.
Right. Well, he doesn't really see, like, I think from Turner's point of view, it's like he's not looking at the more like complex landscape that Kyle is looking at. Turner is looking at, we've got leftovers. And then within leftovers, we've got pound. And within pound, I've got Kyle. And so he has a good relationship with Taylor. He's got a good relationship with Michael and Brittany. But, you know, I think that from his perspective, it's still pretty simple. We're just riding it out. That's very much why he's just like, yeah, I'll go on the blog this week, whatever. So the question is, if Michael and Kyle approach him with like, hey, how do you feel about working with Alyssa and maybe doing something a little different than the leftovers? I think that he'll go along with it. I think he'll be cool with it. But there's definitely a chance that he's like, what about the pound? But I think the main thing here is that Turner, how he functions in the game is initially he found Pooch. He was with Pooch. He followed Pooch around. He was just flat out with Pooch, whatever Pooch wanted to do within the Inception Alliance, with Oasis, with whatever. He's just like, yeah, Pooch, we're good. Now, I think that person is Kyle. And so, yeah. So I think he will just follow Kyle along with whatever Kyle wants to do, especially since it coincides with working with Alyssa, who he likes, working with Michael and Brittany, who he likes. I just don't know that he's thinking about that right now. But I think that he'll be okay with it when, if approached.
Okay. All right. So that's all.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kenzie. Okay. Taryn, where's Brittany been in all of this? I feel like that we haven't heard a ton about her during Michael's HOH yet.
She was the first person Michael talked to. She was very much down for the plan to put up Monty Joseph and Terrence with the backup of taking Terrence out if Daniel were to win the veto, but otherwise take Daniel out. She's fine with all of that. Michael hasn't told, again, anybody about potentially Monty leaving yet. I think she'd be down for that too. She agreed with Michael that she didn't want to go to the end with the muscly guys. She's into the idea of working with Kyle and Alyssa. I think in her mind, she would make sure that Taylor is involved. But Michael hasn't talked to her about that as much. He's mostly talked to Kyle and Alyssa about it. I think from Brittany's point of view right now, it's like, we've got leftovers. I've got Michael, I've got Taylor, who I have a final two with. We're sort of like maybe working on a Kyle Alyssa thing, but that's still up in the air. At some point they might take shots at Monty and Joseph, but by extension, maybe take shots at their numbers. I think maybe in to some degree, similar to Turner, she hasn't fully committed or been approached with the idea of like, this is it, this is the coup. But if she is approached with it, I think she'd be down.
Are her and Michael like ride or die for real? Because I feel like in the beginning of the season, Michael was like, oh, sure, you're my friend. But it seems like that by way of like the festy bestie, like I feel like that they are pretty much like attached at the hip, especially from her perspective.
I think that Michael and Brittany are very close on a personal level. I think they're both fans of the game, and I think that they both are players of the game, and they would both absolutely be willing to cut each other in the end if they thought it was what was best for them.
But like at final three?
Yes, they will absolutely work together until at least like final four or so. I think Brittany would love to get to final three with Michael and Taylor. I think she said so on the episode. She feels both would take her to the final two at that point. I think she would probably cut Michael at that point, considering all his comp wins, and probably take Taylor. I don't see her cutting Michael earlier than that. I don't see Michael cutting her earlier than that because I don't think there's any game reason for him to. If there was, maybe he would, but I don't think there is.
Okay. Let's say hi to Samantha, who's here. Okay. Samantha. Hi, Samantha.
Hi. Hey, Rob. Hey, Taryn. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. I was just able to get off of a work call, so I thought I'd jump in here last minute. But I don't know if you guys have talked much about Taryn yet, and I don't feel like anybody really does because we've barely seen him on the show.
We haven't talked much about him at all.
Well, not that he's doing much. But I'm starting to think that maybe he's the best liar in the house.
Oh.
Not that he's particular, like, I don't think he's doing it on purpose. But I don't know where his mind is really at. And I don't know what your thoughts are on this, because I definitely think some people are very bad at lying in the house right now. But I think Terrence might be the best liar because he had me stressed out all last week.
Yeah, no, Taryn, I feel like in the past you've said that Jasmine is the best liar in the house. What do you think? Should Terrence be under consideration for best liar in the house?
I would still say Jasmine is a better liar. I think they're both capable liars in that they're both good at convincing the person they're talking to that they're telling the truth. But Jasmine is more focused in her lies, more intentional in her lies, whereas Terrence is more of a people pleaser than a liar. Like he just will try to figure out what you want to hear as much as possible, no matter what it is. And he will say that thing. And that's what makes him, technically a good liar, because if that thing is not true, then he's lying. But the reality is he's not trying to lie and he's not trying to deceive. He's just trying to tell you what you want to hear in that moment, make you feel good about it.
I can't remember who said it that was on. I don't remember if it was the roundtable or the update. They all blur together now, but that he's the best yes ander. And I think that his conversation this morning with Michael was just a circle of yes ands. It had absolutely, I don't even know what that conversation was. It was so, it was just out of whack. But I think that also you've said too, Jasmine believes her lies. So that's what makes her better at telling the lies. So I definitely do see that too. I think that we also need to give Turner more credit. Because if it wasn't for him, I don't think that she would be interesting at all right now. So I think so far, the most interesting things that have happened in the game are because of Turner. Because Muffingate would not be a thing without Turner. And in return, Jasmine's suddenly interesting.
Yeah, but Jasmine the Muffin Detective is definitely the best version of Jasmine.
Yeah, wow. Turner for MVP, is that what you're saying, Samantha?
Pretty much, yeah. So far,
yeah. I mean, probably maybe maybe running right behind Taylor for the person that's you know, because I feel like that, you know, without Taylor, I'm not sure people would care as much about the season. I feel like that she's sort of like the main attraction, but without Turner, you know, things don't turn around for Taylor as much.
I guess I'm saying more for the feed watchers,
yeah,
but I don't think that there's going to be any competition for Taylor to win America's Favorite Player. Okay. I think that's pretty much in
the
bag. He
doesn't have your AFP vote yet.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Not quite there yet.
Not there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I really have. Just wanted to pop in and say hi. And
okay. Thanks, Samantha.
Great chatting.
All right. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Jim. Okay. Jim, I know you were on hold before, and then I thought we lost you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rob. I also had to jump on a
No need to apologize. Yeah, that was how Taryn and I were this morning waiting for Nicole.
Yeah, just real quick, this wasn't the reason that I dialed in, but in terms of America's favorite player, you know, I try not to go too much on the Joker's rankings, although I think they're usually pretty accurate. I'll just say I'm surprised Taylor has not been, I don't think she's been number one on Jokers at all.
Who's number one
during this season? Right now it is, oh geez, what's his name? I don't even remember. It was Michael, and now it is,
Taryn, who's number one on Jokers? I'm
looking it up.
This is like when you ask Melissa every week, who's number one in your poll. Who is it?
Turner.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's not too surprising, I think.
So I just, you know, everybody's saying, and I agree. I mean, I think Taylor deserves America's favorite, but I don't know what it is about that. That particular ranking, but she hasn't been up there yet. I give her fives, but I guess I'm in the minority.
You're voting
in regards to that. But the reason that I called in today is I don't know that I'm fed up or maybe it's just driving me nuts this season more so than normal. But the constant house guests telling Julie how beautiful she is on a very regular basis. And I don't disagree. I mean, Julie is a very attractive woman, but I feel like when you constantly say to someone every single week, every single house guest, it kind of loses its luster, you know, a little bit. You know, like Rob, if everybody constantly complimented you on, you know, your flannel shirts or you complimented Taryn like on you know, his abilities. I remember a few summers ago, there was a post episode show and somebody in the chat kept telling how great he is and, you know, how cute he is. And that became like an ongoing joke for a couple of weeks. Her name was Peggy. It was really funny. But I feel
for you,
like,
Jim,
you know, when you're constantly, you know, I don't disagree. Everybody here really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But when you're constantly saying the same thing, it doesn't really mean as much. I mean, I'm starting to wonder obviously things have changed at CBS a little bit. Maybe the compensation package isn't as great as it used to be. I mean, does Julie get X number of your beautifuls per week? I mean, I know the producers are in the house guests' ears. Is it one of those things where, you know, they say, make sure you come on Julie?
I don't think that, no, I think that it's just like the thing, like, this is what you're supposed to say when you get in there. Now, I think it's a good question as to say, like, is it appropriate to be like, if it was a man hosting the show, like, would you get up there and it's like a Phil Kogan, or like a, hey, Phil, just want to say, looking studly tonight.
All I'm hearing yeah. is that, Rob, we should start beginning our podcasts with, Rob, you look beautiful tonight. Mm-hmm. Happy to have you on. Mm-hmm. And then you would say,
Taryn, you look better than a chicken wing in an air fryer.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm down for it.
Yeah, look, I will say,
at least it's meaning. Compliment me all day.
At least Jasmine's, you know, whether these are her own lines or they're being fed to her, at least hers are, you know, a little bit different. But yeah, it's the same general message over and over again. And I don't know, like, if I were a house guest, I don't know, is it nervousness maybe? Like, they don't know what else to say, how else to make small talk with Julie. But I feel like there's a lot of other, you know, salutations that they could come up with. Well, like, how was your Julie? How's your day?
I feel like that she's Julie, that they can't ask her about anything. Yeah, don't ask that. I feel like they're a little bit limited to what they can. They really can't ask her about like what's happening in the outside world. And like I feel like, you know, how are you sets off like a weird, like, well, I'm okay. How are you? Like, so I feel like it's like sort of like the simplest like greeting that they could have for Julie, but yeah, it is. I think it's just like an awkward, weird thing, but I don't know if there's a fix to it. I don't think that Julie is demanding that they tell her how beautiful she is.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I would agree with it. I think she's a very attractive woman, but it's just like when you get 10 times Thursday and, you know, multiple times, and, you know, hundreds of times every single season, it's just kind of like, well,
yeah.
You know, what happens when you know, she has she's looking more stunning than normal, you know, when she's all done up for the finale. You know, how do you top your beautiful?
You can't.
It's difficult.
It would be interesting to track the evolution of like what people are saying to Julie, like from way back when in the beginning to ultimately like where we are now. I know we're not doing a ton of live voting in the early seasons.
Yeah, I first remember it during the season with, was it 11? The first season of Jordan. Mm-hmm. That's when I first recall it, although it probably has origins back, you know, back longer than that season. But that's when I really started to notice it. And back then, it seems like only a few people would do it, and they wouldn't do it all the time. And now it's just everybody, you know, every single opportunity they have to tell her how beautiful she is.
I'm pretty sure Dan might have been the pioneer here. Dan used to be, you know, still have these interactions with Julie. He's also kind of the pioneer of like yelling in the diary room.
Yes. With all due respect, Taryn. Yeah. Dan, I do remember having like big, like teacher's pet, like suck up energy of like complimenting Julie at every single turn. So I don't know if anybody was doing it really before him. Did he do it in BB10?
I think so. Yeah, I think he did it in BB10 a little bit. I think he upped the ante in BB14. But, you know, I think that like, I mean, that's part of the thing, like, for better or worse, when you have a player as sort of big as Dan, you get a lot of people that want to, you know, imitate him. And so it gets imitated and then it becomes more and more of a thing. And then just like that.
Mm hmm.
It's a regular thing.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with it. And if ever given the opportunity, I will tell Julie how beautiful she is, but I don't know that I'll repeat it over and over and over again on a very regular basis. But, mm-hmm.
Jim, the next time you call in here, I want you to tell us how beautiful we are, all right?
But only if you mean
next,
it.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Next Friday, Taryn.
Only if we're actually beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I won't lie to you. I won't lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I may not be the best liar in the Big Brother house, but I'm also not the best liar in the podcast universe here. So
I'll start tracking it for next Friday's episode or next Thursday's eviction night.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be interesting to find out. It really would.
How many of the people, what will we have? 9 votes on Thursday? How many of the 9 depends. Votes? I guess it depends on who's on the block. How many of the votes will then open with Julie, you look beautiful tonight?
Can make that a prediction on my Twitch stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put it, let people vote on the Stockwatch. Yeah. How many people will vote and say that Julie looks beautiful? All right. Jim, anything else?
All right. That's it. Thank you guys so much. Right. I love all your programming. It's awesome.
Thank you, Jim. Take care. Bye. Okay. Got a few other questions. I promised some Alyssa questions. So let me see. About Alyssa. This is from earlier in the chat. How about... all right. If Alyssa is sent to jury, Doug asks, do you think Kyle will just tell the rest of the house to send him to jury the next week? He is so H dot. I can't read what the rest of it says. H dot 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 dot.
I wonder what he's trying to say there.
I'm just too horny, dude.
What? No, I don't think they wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think you. Kyle's here to win the game. He's here to win the game and also get some, mm-hmm. but I think that he'll stick it in there for a while.
Whoa. Then Dee Dee Wilder wants to know, does Alyssa have a lot of sway with the remaining women? Like, besides Kyle, who does she have influence over?
To a degree, yeah. I mean, you know, Jasmine, Alyssa, and Indy, they're kind of just, like I said, they're kind of rudderless. Jasmine is kind of like the leader there at this point, but they don't really have anywhere to go. And nobody's, despite the fact that Monty and Joseph are talking about working with them, they're not really like locked in anywhere. And if any one of them was like, we should really go in this direction, then I think that they would all kind of follow. So, you know, I think if Kyle utilized his relationship with Alyssa to help point Jasmine and Indy in a certain direction, I think that that could work for him if he tried.
Hypothetically, if Kyle went out before Alyssa, is she somebody that could get to the end game as somebody who is like a innocuous drag to the end person?
I think that I talked about this a little bit, but like I think that Michael, if Kyle left, could pick Alyssa up and use her very effectively, to the point where I then think she could become like one of these underdog if she wins a couple of those competitions, still could win this game. But I think that as long as Kyle's in the house, she is going to not be seen as somebody that is likely to win the game. But I think mm-hmm. that, you know, again, you cannot underestimate the power of showmances. And I think that she absolutely could still have a good shot at this.
Yeah. And I liked your breakdown about the power of showmances. Maybe if you were on Big Brother, Tara, would you correct Julie in the diary room about how showmances are not a detriment to somebody's game?
Well, unfortunately, I wouldn't have been able to hear her say it because she didn't say it to
in a future
the house
season.
Guests.
Yeah.
I'd be like, she'd be like, all right, Taryn, it's time to vote. And I'd be like, thank you, Julie. You look amazing. You also looked amazing on August 4th of 2022 when you said that it's a well-known fact that showmances are not good for your game. And they're very good for people's games. And then she'll be like, oh, so where's your showmance? And I'll be like, oh.
Yeah. It would be good back and forth. It would be it would light up the internet. All right. Let's go to Jess, who's on hold. Jess. Hi, Jess.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. What's happening?
You know, nothing much. I've, like, always watching it, but I decided to actually ask a question because after watching my first time watching Big Brother Canada,
yes,
like, live, and, like, watching the live feeds this time and having a great time between 23 and now, I'm like, oh, my God, curfews. Curfews are amazing. Or, like... So my, I guess like one of my questions is, I'm sure it's been touched on before because people talk about the house and like how the different houses between Canada and the US like make a difference. Do you think that like having like no curfew or having a curfew or having like that set time that you have to like be in a dark room and all that is a detriment or like a positive to the game? I know, Taryn, probably for your health, it's probably like awesome, but for their games, do you think it's better to not have the curfew?
Yeah, we have touched on this before, but I think that basically the curfew prevents people from having a time. Like basically how the leftovers have operated the past few weeks is you just got to wait for everyone else to go to bed. Then we all head upstairs and we have our meeting. You can't really do that in Big Brother Canada. And there's not as in, there's not like this isolated space either in the HOH room. The HOH room is like right there in the midst of everything in Big Brother Canada. So trying to get a big alliance together for an extended period of time in Big Brother Canada is much more difficult. And we see that the big alliances, you know, they are not as successful in Big Brother Canada, than they are in Big Brother US. And I think that's definitely one of the reasons. They're not just not as coordinated. They can't communicate as effectively. You know, it's more difficult for their health to, you know, not be able to sleep, but it does give them this extra tool, which is let's just wait for people to go to bed to have more space to talk, as a group. And I think that lends toward the bigger alliances being more effective, which is probably not what we want to see in general.
Yeah. Do you think it also lends to, cause like I'm someone who I'm awake until like 4 AM, 5 AM, like normally just cause that's like when I operate, but that just cause I'm awake and I'm alert doesn't mean I'm making my best decision making at like,
that's a good point. Yeah.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So like, do you think that that also kind of lends to like maybe more spiraling because there is no curfew? I don't know. I just think about like the sleep deprivation all the time in that house, or Tiffany being awake until like 4 or 5 in the morning. And like, I'm like, I'm East Coast and I'm like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I just feel like there has to be more spiraling when there's no curfew.
Yeah. Taryn, are the best decisions or the worst decisions for the house guests made super late into the middle of the night?
You know, it's, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I always think about this, because sleep deprivation has to be a major factor, but it's so difficult to tell. I think about this with Survivor as well, where it's like, you know, Tony talks about how he stays up 24/7 to think through all the scenarios and like really works for Tony. But at the same time, like you're definitely not going to be at your best if you're not sleeping properly. It's difficult. It's hard to really know how much of an impact it actually has. You know, when we talked to Kevin recently from Big Brother Canada, he was like, "Yeah, I tried to be Tony and I tried to stay up, but it turns out getting sleep helped me a lot." So it might just be like person dependent. How good at you are, how good at you are you at functioning with little sleep, and like what are your like. I think for some people, interacting socially is a chore that they need energy for, and that they need to be at, you know, in tip-top shape for. And if they're not in tip-top shape, then they might be a little irritable. They might not have the patience for it. And those are the people that might make poor decisions. I think for some people, it just comes very naturally. And, you know, being sleep deprived is just like being a little tipsy. And if anything, it just opens the gates up even more. And so for them, it's probably not as bad. And, you know, in terms of like decision making, you usually have a lot of time to make decisions in the show because the weeks last so long. So as long as you're not like really spiraling and going back and forth and back and forth, then the sleep deprivation is probably not influencing your decision making too much.
No. Yeah, that makes sense. I just know that, like, I was thinking about it because last night I ended up, I woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, I totally forgot that I just, like, mass ordered a whole bunch of, like, nail polish at 2:30 a.m. because why not?
You should institute a curfew. Big Brother Canada rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, those are my main questions. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Jess, thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Bye. All right. Taryn, anything else you want to touch on at this hour?
You know, I think we're good. I think that there are still a couple of different directions this week can go. Hopefully, you know, we are, you know, going to see something interesting happen. I think by far the most likely thing is still just straight up Terrence, Monty, Joseph go on the block. The veto is used by anybody at this point. And then probably Daniel goes home.
How about this? What could happen in the veto that could really screw things up this week? Or are insulated? Nothing.
It's very insulated because anybody other than Daniel and Kyle winning the veto, there is a leftover member in all of those groups. Mm-hmm. So as long as the plan is to ostensibly take out Daniel, then the veto will be used. So Michael would have to put his foot down and be like, I actually don't want it to be used, which I don't think that he's willing to do at this point, unless they come up with some big story as to why Daniel can't leave or somebody else needs to leave. But that so far hasn't really been Michael's MO. It's a lot of risk just for Daniel, who's probably not worth it. So Daniel and Kyle winning the veto would be the biggest thing. And then the trick at that point is, how do we get them to not use the veto? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Joseph is going to be pushing, okay, have the veto used, get Alyssa on the block, send Alyssa home. Michael and Kyle are not going to want to do that. So that's where things get a little trickier.
If Kyle and Daniel play in the veto, can we see Kyle straight up throwing the veto, or does he secretly want Daniel to use the veto, or that would involve potentially Alyssa going up on the block?
So he mentioned that he'd be willing to throw it. I think some of the leftovers would want him to throw it. But in talking to Michael, he was like, no, you should. Michael was like, you should win and you should not use it. Because secretly we kind of both want Daniel to stay. So I think that Kyle will be trying and then not using it. And those two things combined could cause some tension. Specifically from Joseph, who's like, what the hell? It should be Alyssa and not Terrence that's leaving this week. And, mm-hmm. You know, that could definitely cause some drama.
Yeah. Would it be a good week to do the, like, BB16, like, Beast Mode Cowboy and Frankie Grande, like, two people pulling the ropes challenge where, like, when Beast Mode Cowboy sat down, that it might expose who's throwing and who's not, even though Frankie Grande it was easier for him to do it just by himself.
That's the thing. Like, a competition where you're like, I'm just going to sit out of this one. Not going to try, and then make it just have it be easier for Daniel. Yeah, like that would be the ideal scenario.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Taryn. And it's going to be a busy weekend for you. Where can people see more of what you're saying about all this Big Brother?
Come hang out on Twitch, as always, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Check out the Among Us videos dropping. You know, check out the live feed updates.
Okay. And then, of course, got a lot of other stuff going on this weekend as well. Make sure you catch everything over on robhasawebsite.com. I recorded a podcast already today with Akiva. Taryn, have you ever heard of a movie called Mac and Me?
Mac and Me. No, I don't think I have.
Yeah. Okay. It's basically it's a ET ripoff from the 80s.
Oh, actually, this looks a little familiar.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild. Okay.
I definitely have seen this little alien before.
Yep. Yep. So there you go. Not Johnny Mac and Me. All right. Thank you so much for checking this out. And of course, we'll see you with more patron content with the slop coming up on Monday. Got some fun stuff planned for you there. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.